Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Let's bring in our first caller here. Who's this?
It's Rego.
Hey, what's up, man?
How much?
Much. Late night.
Yeah, you know, the life of a collegiate coach, it has its perks.
Yeah. I think this is Dan we got here. Dan, is that you?
Yep, it's me.
Hey. Seuss should be on. Wait, hang on, is this Seuss? Seussy, is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's me.
All right. I'm expecting just probably us four. But, well, I was just curious. We kind of left off on. Who's that?
Who's the other one on? It's Dan, Seuss, Bill, and
Rego.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wanted to go to your list very quickly, Dan. You know, we talked about Story already and McCutchen, but I think overlooked is I think Piscotty is a solid keep at six, and I actually heard some stuff about Keitel Marte today. I mean, he could be a really good middle infield source of steals, right?
Yeah, that's the draw for him, for me at least.
Yeah, I didn't actually know he was that good. I looked at him some time back, so I was curious, but I mean, they're projecting him to steal quite a few bases this season. And it looks like he's going to start at short. So did you get a timeline on when Darvish is supposed to be back? I know he just started throwing, but do you know when?
I've been hearing May.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
With him being such a huge strikeout guy, I mean, he's obviously not going to be 200 plus, but he'll still probably be pretty darn close to, you know, 170-ish, I would imagine. At $7, I'll take it.
Well, and he'll be a keeper for next year if you hang on to him.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that's something I wanted to mention. And obviously you have Abreu. I mean, Abreu's down year is still like 290, 30, and 100.
Well, he's finally has someone behind him that can somewhat protect him in the lineup too. So,
and I hope he does. I hope. I'm counting on Frazier to do some good things. But let's see. What do you think about? What do you guys think about? Newberry's list. He's got some decent players. I think he's got decent players. I didn't really care for the Soler at 11, at least now, and Eddie Rosario. But
yeah, he just got sent down. Wait, Rosario just got sent down?
Yeah, I want to say didn't the Rockies just send him down?
Eddie Rosario for the Twins?
Oh, is he? Okay, my bad. I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah, I mean,
you're thinking of Willen Rosario, who's in Japan.
Yeah.
No, pardon me, I misspoke.
Eddie Rosario, actually, I didn't even know anything about him until just a couple of nights ago, and I just happened to come across his numbers from last year, and I mean, he could be a decent keep at $6.
Maybe. If he has some regression, I mean, he might not, but I don't know if he'll hit like he did last year. I don't know if he's going to hit.
Yeah, I guess not when you look at his walk rate was terrible. His K rate was almost 25%, and he had a BABIP of over 330. So,
yeah, and he walked 15 times in almost 500 at bats. Struck out 118 times, had 15 walks. Like, he's basically Vlad Guerrero up there.
but with 15 homer upside.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I don't think it, I mean, I don't know. I'm saying
he's Vlad Guerrero with 15 homer upside as opposed to 40 homer upside.
And with 270 batting average upside, and who doesn't want that?
Right.
Well, exactly. In fairness, though, it's $6.
For $6,
and
I agree. I know.
With a full load of at bats, we're talking about a guy who conceivably, because he almost did with less than a full load, could be a 15-15 guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay $6 all day long for a 15-15 guy in this league.
I'm not saying that's out of reach. That's also possible. I don't know about. I'm more concerned with Soler, but Soler is so good. But I just don't know if he's going to get the at bat to really produce or outproduce his value. Maybe he does. I mean,
It's one of those things where it's seemingly almost every guy that was involved with the Cubs this year, I think people were expecting a lot more out of them before they brought Fowler back on. Because, like, that calls into question exactly how much Schwarber's worth now, you know, how much is Soler worth now, and to a lesser respect, is Fowler going to play every day? So, like, all those guys, I think their value, their fantasy value all took a hit of a little bit, or at least put some doubt in your mind of what you thought they were in, say, February.
Yeah, real life value, I think it helps the Cubs, obviously, to have that depth.
Yeah.
I
have Schwarber in another league, and when that happened, I went, damn it. That was my immediate reaction, was like, damn it, because... Yeah. That's going to cost me some at bats at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how many yet, but it's going to cost me some.
I think overall, I still like Newberry's list. I think he's got good players. He's got two closers. He's got two arms. You know, if Pollock, hopefully Pollock for his sake, isn't out very long, but last I read, he has no timetable for a return. So I have no idea when. You know, I assume he's going to start to be on the DL, but, you know.
Dude, that's just opening up. That's opening up more playing time for Socrates. You leave it alone.
Burrito. Oh, my God.
Love that guy.
Love that name.
It says here that A.J. Pollock actually played in a minor league game today, so.
There you go. That changes things a little bit, I guess. I mean, maybe he's fine, who knows, but he sure is good. He's a good player. Let's look at O'Brien's next year. You know, it's kind of funny. At the beginning of the year, for a short time, I had Matt Justin Brewer. I actually thought that he might be a decent keep at $6 because he hit like 23 home runs and like 400 at bats or something like that. I don't have the stats pulled up, but it was something ridiculous like that. Do you guys think that $6 first baseman like him is, I mean, a decent keep for his power upside? Do you think he's going to regress? I don't know what to think about him.
Once again, I think it's kind of a worthwhile value. It's a value play. I mean, I don't think he's going to hit like 30 bombs or anything, but. Once again, I think when you get into this, I mean, once again, it's a 20-team league, and if you can get a guy at first base that could put 20 over the fence at $6, it's worth your shot.
Isn't he kind of fat?
Isn't he, kind of fat? He weighs 280. According to his profile, he's 280. What the crap? I knew he was fat, so he can't be good.
I don't take shots in this department because I'm kind of fat. Who am I to criticize?
He goes, I don't take shots in this department. I had Cruz at the beginning of the year. I saw a crazy stat about players who have, you know, reached like his age, like no one has come up with numbers even remotely close to being all that great as far as power goes at his age. You guys think he can produce 40 home runs again?
Who's this?
I stopped doubting Nelson Cruz like 3 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. I bet my house he's not going to bat 300 again. I can tell you that's not going to happen. His BABIP was retarded, but I don't know. Maybe he hits 40 again. I mean, he hit 44, and he was hitting it in Seattle. Like, that's pretty impressive. I don't know. Maybe he produces his value. Let's see. What did you guys think about the Keiko for J.D. Martinez trade?
Loved it for Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, we talked
Agreed.
About that a little
yeah.
bit. I think I would rather have J.D. for sure. If it were me, I would much rather have J.D. But, you know, Keiko is good. I mean, I don't think it was just a slam dunk, but I would much rather have the power that J.D. offers, and, you know, at the same price.
I thought it was really, really good for Jimmy, personally. But
well, especially considering he's pitcher heavy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he got him just straight up like that.
Yeah, I was surprised when it came through, too. I didn't expect that to happen, considering how much finagling I thought he had to do to get J.D. Martinez in the first place. I was surprised that he just made that straight-up deal like that, personally.
I thought he would have to include someone else, too. So I think Jimmy got a little bit better there. We can get to him. Do you guys think that do you guys think Domingo Santana is a good pick at 6 bucks?
I do. I mean, I've got probably a little bit of Brewers bias, but...
A little bit?
but no, he's had a huge spring hitting the crap out of the ball. So, and he's got every day at bat. So I think he could easily hit 20, 25 home runs.
I was kind of hoping he wouldn't keep him. I don't know why he wouldn't, but I was kind of hoping that I could bid on him in the draft. But then I knew, Dan, you would probably bid me up on him.
You know what? I have no idea. This was probably the dumbest thing I did of the entire offseason. Me and Ivan made a trade, and I had two options for just a throw-in player at the end of the deal, and he said I could have CJ Crone or Domingo Santana. And I have no idea why, even as a biased Brewers fan, I still took CJ Crone. I think I might have been a little bit drunk when it happened, but it's no excuse.
CJ Crone. Yeah, that didn't work.
No, did not work out. And then, like, and I think it was literally, like, a day or two later, the Brewers traded away Chris Davis.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Those are the breaks.
So.
Now, you know, he's got a couple other good players, though. He's solid. I feel like we've talked about before, I still don't love Buxton. But, you know, I think Moose is good at $9 at that position. And, what do you guys think about Powell? I mean, he spent $120. He doesn't have one guy in single digits. Every player he kept is $10 or more. Every single one. You know, he kept Calhoun. I think Dickerson. I hate Corey Dickerson. Have you guys seen what he's done away from Coors Field? It is not good. His career is terrible.
Yeah,
I was surprised he kept Dickerson.
Oh, man, I can't stand Corey Dickerson.
I was surprised he kept Doolittle. I know he only got hurt today, but, like, man, like, I wouldn't trust that guy with my life. Especially with all the guys waiting behind him.
Right.
There's, like, it's just, he was trying to trade me him earlier in the season. I was like, no thanks. You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's good. I mean, he didn't have any other closers. But
yeah.
He still has good players. It's just he spent $120, and I think Dickerson is a bad keep. But I mean, he's got arguably one of the best players. He's got Donaldson at 18, which is a tremendous deal.
I think DeGrom at 11 is really good too.
Yeah, DeGrom at 11 is really good. Rendon, if he returns to his 2014 ways, I mean, he could look. I don't know. I still like his team. I still think he has good players. He just didn't have anyone for cheap. That's all. Spent a lot of money.
Let me ask you guys a question, because him and I tossed trades out around pretty early in the off season, and he was really pushing Gerrit Cole, and he didn't really want to give away Sonny Gray. If you guys had to pick between the two, because I'd much rather have Cole myself. Has anyone talked to him? Do they know why he's more of a Gray fan than a Cole? Is just personal preference, or am I missing something there?
I don't know. I'd rather have Cole.
I'd rather have Cole, but it's close. I don't think it's like, oh my God, but it's. I mean, I'd rather have Cole. I don't know. I don't know what the reason would be for that.
He told me. He told me that on Facebook a little while ago, or an hour before the deadline. He said he was mentioning how he just regretted that Kluber trade. You guys remember that? It was. He gave up Kluber and who's the other one?
I don't think Sonny Gray didn't even strike very many guys out, does he? So, I mean,
no, he didn't.
The last 2 years he's been 7.5 and 7.3 Ks per nine. So, I mean, I think Cole's got a pretty decent, because I think Cole's just as good in every other category, maybe better in wins. So I definitely like Cole more.
Yeah, I agree.
The only thing
I
can think of is that Cole had a big innings jump last year. Maybe he was scared about injury risk or something. I mean, that was the only thing I could think of when I was trying to rationalize it in my mind.
Yeah. I don't know. Not sure.
He dealt DeShields and Kluber for Billy Hamilton.
Ooh, yeah, that's.
This is my opinion. I'm not a Billy Hamilton fan at all.
I've heard a couple of different podcasts, and he's like, I mean, they say that he is like by far the worst hitter in all of baseball.
He's
just
bad.
Just a terrible hitter. He's got no hitting skills at all.
Well, on top of that, his shoulder is completely dead. So you're talking about a guy who batted 226 last year and batted 250 the year before. I mean, okay, he steals 50 bases, but if his on-base percentage average is 280. Like, he's going to be a fourth outfielder pinch runner very quickly if he doesn't hit it.
Yeah, he did steal. I mean, he stole 57 bags in 114 games. So that's pretty.
I mean,
for $18, I mean.
At least, like, D. Gordon gives you a 330 batting at, or, you know, not 330, but he did last year. Gives you, you know, that's a 100-point difference than Hamilton.
Yeah.
I mean, Hamilton just can't hit. So. I do not like Billy Hamilton at that price, especially.
I would agree.
You know, if he plays and steals 50, then you could say he's worth it. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I would imagine not.
But at least, I mean, you can hardly even. I mean, for a guy who steals that many bags, and I mean, I get that he's great in one category, but he's also going to just kill you in batting average. So, how many of those you know, those steals do you take away, or how much of that value do you take away in the empty batting average? So
yeah, batting average, home runs, RBIs.
Right. But, I don't really like him at $18 either.
Yeah. What about Shively? Looking at his list, I mean, he's keeping Vizcaino. I think that's risky because he's not the closer, I don't think. Is that right?
Well, I mean, nobody really knows at this point. I think I was watching MLB Network the other day, and they did their 30 and 30 days on the Braves, and it seemed to be the common thread that Jason Grilly is going to start with that job. So, I mean, how long he holds it, he's 39 years old, how long until one other part of his body explodes, he's traded away for a box of baseballs. I mean, I don't think that Grilly gets all the saves, but I think Garrett's journey to find saves somewhere other than actually purchasing them is going to fail him again. So, up yours.
He should have just not kept
Dave,
I mean,
Melancon.
He should have just got a closer. I offered him, you know, I was like, I can trade Susi for Ziegler if you want Ziegler. Dude, I hate closers. I'm like, well, why do you like eighth inning guys?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you hate them, you still need them.
Yeah, you need the closer.
It's real, real hard. Real, real hard to, like, place or even, I mean, to win or place in this league by just completely ignoring the fact that you need closers. So,
I don't hate him keeping Vizcaino at $6 just because he didn't really have anyone else. And if Vizcaino is, you know, announced the closer in the next couple weeks or, you know, whatever happens, I mean, his value could jump pretty significantly come draft day. So, yeah, you really didn't have anyone else. I mean, he's keeping Rich Hill, so obviously his options are pretty limited.
I guess my thought is if you don't have anyone else, then don't do it. You're not required to keep eight people.
I know. I wouldn't have kept Rich Hill, but I mean, if you don't have anyone else to keep, I think I like actually a guy who, you know, is at least going to be in contention for the closer's job. Keeping him at $6, I think, is worth it when we know there's going to be virtually nothing available come draft day for closers.
That's too risky for my blood. I don't think I would have done that. But, I mean, maybe it'll pay off, but if it doesn't, then you just wasted a whole slot. You wasted an actual $6 and a spot in your starting nine on an eighth inning.
Yeah, right. But I mean, do you really think Grilly, you know, Vizcaino last year, I'm looking at his stats right now, he only threw 33 innings, but he had a 1.6 ERA and he struck out almost 10 per nine. I don't see Grilly. I mean, I definitely don't think Grilly is that good, so.
Yeah, trust me, everything you're saying is not wrong. Grilly is not good, and Vizcaino is good. But just the sole fact that he's not the closer just makes me feel like, I mean, there are a lot of eighth-inning guys who are really good. But I would wait in the draft to see if he's the closer or not. Anyway, Rich Hill, Goldschmidt, Carlos Martinez is good. I think Real Muto is sneaky good. I don't know if I would have actually kept him. I'd have to have pretty limited options to do that, but I still think he's pretty good. And Springer, I mean, he's got some big boppers in that lineup. He's also spending $113, and Tomas might lose his job to Brito.
Yeah,
so we'll
Tomas
see.
Was required.
Yeah, he was. Let's look at Nitz here. You know, we kind of already talked about that. I mean, it sucks. He's spending $131. Kershaw, I mean, at least he has Kershaw, but that just sucks so hard. He's spending $46 on him. And that is I almost said Chuck for for a second there. But that is catcher Norris, right? Not Daniel Norris?
That is catcher Norris.
Right, okay. I mean, he's got Sano, he's got Kluber, he's got Kershaw, he's got Storen. I think Kendrick and Norris and Reddick are all very questionable. But
was Storen already named? Was he named the closer for Toronto?
He kind of seems to be the guy that they're leaning towards.
Yeah, he will be.
I haven't seen anything that's declared it that, but I've been fairly confident all along that this is probably what they were going to do, because I think they still want to stretch the Osuna kid out and try to see if he can be a starter. So I think they're going to go with Storen personally.
Yeah. Dan, you have a lot of money to spend. You got to feel pretty good about that. You have $5, $4, $6 players. And, take us through your list real quick.
Yeah, so I tried to, well, really, I think what I ended up with is a lot of guys who, I don't know, they may not look all that great on paper, but guys who I really, really liked coming into the season. I was targeting Odor and Pillar pretty heavily, and Byung-ho Park kind of just fell into my lap a little bit. Actually, him and Mark Teixeira both kind of just fell into my lap. I think Laird offered me, or I think he gave me Mark Teixeira for like Nick Hundley, who didn't even end up keeping. And I think Teixeira could hit at least 35 to 40 home runs if he stays healthy. So I wanted to get, you know, good cheap bats, and then also have a couple of closers, which I was able to do. So I won't really have to worry about that during the draft. And I wasn't really all that concerned with starting pitching. So I ended up with a lot of guys who I really liked a lot. Just I've heard a lot of good things about.
You don't have any starters. Like, you're okay
Correct.
With that?
Yep. I think I'm okay with that. I think that's probably the easiest position to find in the draft. So I'm all right with it.
I was surprised that Lamb, you already kind of mentioned him in the last show, but I think a lot of the other guys you have good upside. Like I mean, for their prices especially, you know, I mean, you've got so many guys here with high upside, you know, pretty good upside for $6. I mean, Park could hit 30 home runs this year. Who knows? He might hit 15, but he might also hit 30.
Right.
You know, and Ramos is a good closer. K-Rod's a good closer. So I don't hate this list at all. And I think your list reminds me of mine a little bit. And since you have six guys and six hitters and just two closers, that's what I had this entire time until this afternoon. And then I got really nervous about the last couple of days about not having any starters, at least top flight starters.
Yeah.
So then change course, but
yeah, I'm really confident in seven out of those eight guys producing plus value. I'd be really surprised if any of my keepers other than Jake Lamb, I'd be really surprised if they didn't provide me with really good plus value. And I think Lamb has the potential to do that. I actually did look at his minor league numbers because we were talking about it earlier, and he was a .320 career hitter in the minors. Pretty good. I mean, over 1,000 at bats. And so, I mean, the guy's a good hitter and he's got power. So, I've read a few different articles and listened to some podcasts, and they're always listing him as a potential breakout guy. So I thought he was worth it, you know, worth the $6, like Susie was talking about earlier, as a third baseman. You know, that's a pretty thin position, so I thought it was definitely worth the $6 keep.
Yeah, hard to argue at $6 and at third base. And I remember watching him last year when he was in the middle of that hitting streak, and that dude just mashed. So, it's possible. turn out just fine.
The only thing that worries me is that they have, the Diamondbacks have a ton of infielders, and they're all pretty good. Segura is hitting like 600 this spring. Brandon Drury, who is Lamb's, you know, probably his backup and maybe platoon partner, is crushing the ball. He's got like 4 or 5 home runs, and he's hitting, you know, like 350. I think Owings is having a really good spring. And then they also have Nick Ahmed, that shortstop who doesn't really hit that well, but is a great defender. So they just had a ton of infield depth. So that was the one drawback to Jake Lamb, and the only reason I was even considering keeping Ben Paulson, which I didn't end up doing, obviously. But if he can get the at bats, I think he'll be a good value keep. But we'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I'm actually kind of excited to see what Park can do. He intrigued me, but I just didn't want to take the risk. But he intrigues me.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors has a not a great list, but I certainly feel like I made it at least a little bit better when I gave him all those guys. But I think Haney at 13 is awful. The only guy I really like on there, you know, I've talked about this with the league many times. I still like Forsythe. But one of the reasons I was willing to deal him is not only because I felt like I was getting more of a sure thing with Frazier, and he's playing third base. But Forsythe is batting leadoff now, and that severely depresses his counting stats, in my opinion. So I was okay with that. But you know who I like on his team? What do you guys think about Parra?
I like him. I tried trading for Parra on multiple occasions. And at first he said no because he would have had to keep Victor Martinez. But then just like a week or two ago, he posted on the page that he was willing to keep Martinez. And so I was trying really hard to trade for Parra, but he just didn't get it.
Yeah. So
I do like Parra a lot, but I think it would have been one of those things where, I mean, in order to acquire him based on the attachment of Victor Martinez, it wasn't worth the price that was involved. So
right.
I think he'll be darn good as a regular player in Colorado. I think he'll post some pretty nice numbers, but
I mean, he went 15-15 last year in Milwaukee. I mean, he's going to hit if he plays every game. I mean, he's going to do well in Colorado. That will treat him nicely.
Yeah.
Rega, what do you think of Souza at 11?
Well, I can see why he'd want him for a guy who didn't have very many options. Like, I suppose there is upside there. I don't think he's going to hit for a high enough average to get on base enough. I mean, it seems like last year when I had him, like every like other hit was a home run. It's like either a home run or an out, a strikeout or you know, whatever. So like, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to put the ball in play enough to be worth it. So.
Well, I agree with you. What was Trevor Plouffe numbers last year? Curious. Besides his last name.
Steven Souza's K rate last year was almost 34%.
Oh,
I hear that's good.
Yeah, I heard that's what you're looking for.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'm not a big Plouffe fan. I mean, he's got power, so he can give you some power at third base, so I guess that's okay. But I've just never really cared for him.
Yeah.
Just to put that Souza stat in perspective, what did I say? He was just under 34%. Chris Carter wasn't even that high. He was just under 33%. And everyone just – that's like the big joke. I mean, it is literally a joke what's happening. strikeout numbers. And Suze, it was even worse.
I've seen some people speculating Souza doesn't even make the team, so I think that's kind of entertaining.
That would be really funny if he didn't.
I mean, because they've got a bunch of like interchangeable mediocre players that they've got to sift through, and if Souza doesn't make much contact, they might just say, "Well, screw it," and you know, send him out because. They got people that they like more than I do, like Logan Morrison and Steve Pierce, and they're probably going to give Desmond Jennings one more time to fail, and the great James Loney. So, I mean, all those guys, they acquired Dickerson. They're not going to bench Kiermaier, even though I don't think he's much of a hitter. So, I mean, I just ran down six names that fit in that first base, outfield, DH mix, and I didn't even list Souza. So,
you didn't list Mikey, whatever his name is, Mikey Matt Hook.
I mean, that's another guy, and then Brandon Guyer too is another guy that they strangely like. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they might just send him down. I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Well, he's making it hard hitting 150 in spring training. He's gonna make it hard on him to do that.
Give him a lot to think about.
Right. I was curious. We were talking about strikeouts and stuff. Joey Gallo. I don't know if you guys know this, and this just goes right along with him not being a keeper. He struck out, and he had 100, and his K rate last year was 46.3%. 46? I mean, come on. That's like, we're talking literally one. I mean, that's like Brett Jackson.
Well, let's look at the plus side here. Let's look at the plus side. At least he's not hitting into a double play.
That's true. But, wow. Anyway, I like Parra, and you know, he's got a couple other guys, but for the most part, I'm not a big fan. And I was okay getting rid of Foreskin and Maeda just fine. Now,
yeah, we all know that you were okay with getting rid of Quinton Maeda.
Tried to do that for a long time. Okay, so we got 8 minutes here. Susie, why don't you run us through your list? Tell us what your kind of strategy was. Who do you like? What are you looking forward to? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, I started the off season, in my opinion, with a really bad list. So, I mean, I honestly was having trouble figuring out how I was going to get to four. It was just kind of. I felt like I had one part that I could move and get a bunch of guys back that maybe didn't knock the world down. And I had that in Dallas Keuchel, and I dealt him for, you know, a lot of pieces that maybe were minor plus value to a wash just to try to get myself to a better list. And I don't know how successful I was, to be completely honest with you. I took some of those parts that I got in the deals and flipped them around and moved them to other stuff. And I don't usually operate that way, so it was kind of a strange thing for me to do. But in the end, I ended up getting some guys that I like. I like Lopane a lot. I think there's an opportunity for some plus value there. Once Gong gets back, I like him. I like his flexibility. I like the pop that he gives me from a position where you don't get quite a bit of pop usually. And Ciarte is a guy I'm kind of rolling the dice on, but I think I might get 30 steals out of him. Then Gregory Polanco is a guy that I think is just a breakout guy potential for me. And even if he doesn't, I still think he's going to run a lot. I think steals are going to be hard to find. It's just something that's been fading. And I've built myself a nice little stolen base here with NCR, Day, Polanco, and Kane. So I think with those three guys, I don't have to worry that much about speed in the draft, and I hate buying speed in the draft because I think unless you're going to spend a ton on a guy that's going to steal a bunch, you're either going to take on a batting average risk. It's just kind of a messy thing. So, and then the closer thing didn't work out like I hoped it would. At one point, I had four closers. I turned one of them into essentially Lorenzo Cain. So for that, in that sense, it was success for me. But I still have three. I'm not necessarily all that thrilled about it. I'm hopeful that maybe some of the stubbornness wears off early in the season, and I'm able to flip one of those guys for somebody I can use. I've kind of got an open door policy on that, too. I'm not going to say, oh, I need a pitcher, or, oh, I need an offensive player. I'm just going to kind of open it up and say whatever makes the team better, you know, a month into the season, and hopefully get something done there. I'm super concerned about where I'm going to get power from. I don't think there's a ton available in the draft without paying out the nose for it. That's probably where I'm at right now, is that I don't have a ton of power on this list. I tried my darndest today to make a deal that would have altered that outlook a lot. Felt like I was offering a fair amount for somebody who could exchange that for me, but ultimately got rebuffed there. So that's going to be my challenge, I think, on draft day.
Who are you trying to get?
No. You
want to vault?
What's that?
I said, who are you trying to get, or do you not want to divulge?
I was working hard to get. I was working hard to try to get Sano.
Yeah.
And I thought I had a fair deal out there. He even admitted that it was a fair deal, but ultimately he just didn't want to trade him. So, and that's fine. I mean, that's the break sometimes. But I think I hopefully will have some bargaining position if all three of those guys hold those jobs, because I think there are certain people in this league right now that are banking on the fact that they'll be able to get saves from somewhere. I think there are far too many of them that are going to the draft thinking, oh, I'll just draft a bunch of eighth-inning guys and hope for the best. Well, there's nothing to deter me from taking an eighth-inning guy, too, and some of the other guys that already have closers, and I mean, everybody in this league isn't going to take eighth inning guys, so
yeah.
And they're not all going to become closers too, so the stubbornness I think is probably going to have to wash off at some point in time. A few people are going to get lucky, there's no doubt about that, but are 10 people going to get lucky? I doubt it.
Yeah. I don't really care for Schmidt's list that much. Now, he's got Bryant and Blackman. But other than that, he did try and convince me that I should trade him D. Gordon for Russell Martin, and then that was the end of that conversation. But
the best trade I made all last year was Henderson Alvarez and R.A. Dickey for Stephen Biscotti.
Yeah, that was great.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And I made that deal. I didn't even care who I got back. Because at that point, Piscotty was, like, playing, like, what, like, double A or something? Triple A? Maybe, I don't know. I was just strictly doing it to stick him with a bad keep for the next year.
Oh, yeah. You succeeded.
That was well done. Yeah.
That was success.
Yeah, I think he's got Bryant and Blackman, and I don't really care for the rest of it. Darling obviously has Trout and Harper. He's got a lot of big names, Harvey, Fernandez, you know, Seager, Rosenthal. But he's going to be tough just because he's got those stars, but he has spent $134 already. So he could be a good candidate for stars and, you know, and scrubs. He's not careful. But anyway, we've only got like a minute left, so we can't really look into any more of the list. I think me and Jimmy are the only ones that we haven't talked about, and I'm happy with mine. I like the way mine turned out, and I'm sure Jimmy would say the same thing. Anyway, well, it's nice to know who everyone's keeping now, but I can actually see who's really available to see exactly what's, you know, what's moving forward. But I guess we'll see in a couple of weeks. All right.